Just a couple of things. Just remember Bobby and Elaine, Linda Chadwick, and Doug said his mom. Tell me her name again. Grateful. I couldn't remember that. Can you imagine why? Grateful. She is 92, and she is put back in the hospital with pneumonia and sepsis. So be praying for her. She had some blood clots removed a couple of weeks ago and was doing well and had a setback. So just remember them. And remember, several of those people I mentioned are in pretty serious shape. You know, just so whenever you're starting to gripe about yourself, just stop and pray for them. Then you might appreciate how well you're doing, right? Let's pray. Lord, we're just grateful that you love us. Father, we thank you for our freedom to be here, for a place that we have to meet, for our breakfast. We just ask that you truly would touch these people physically, we ask, and also just mentally. Just reassure them that you'll take care of them. We thank you that we can trust you with every aspect of our life. In Jesus' name, amen. If you helped us with VBS, and for whatever reason you were not here last week or you did not get your bundt cake, if you were a worker, there are some more back there on the table. If you were a worker, you get one of those out of those boxes before you leave if you didn't get it, okay? We appreciate that. Appreciate y'all praying for and helping some of our kids be able to go to camp this past week. But we're grateful they got there and got back safely, all right? We are, you know, we don't have a choir. We've never had a choir. Who of us in here grew up around a choir? Y'all know what that is? Okay. Who of you sang in the choir besides someone who couldn't sing? Yeah? We had that issue at our home church, small country church. So when you have a small choir and one can't sing, it's pretty bad, eh? My brother-in-law never would stand beside this guy. He had a good heart. He just couldn't sing. And so he always would make me stand beside this guy. And he'd just be singing along and just stop and just kind of look at you and start laughing. And then he'd start back up off key. And but nobody ever told him, hey, man, you don't need to be up here. But he didn't need to be up there. That's really not fair, you know, to you or the choir. I mean, if it's evident, because you know how much it takes for you standing beside him to try to stay on track. I mean, it is tough. Anyway, this church had a problem with that. And they went to the song leader and said, you got to get rid of this guy. Because if you don't, we're going to quit. We can't sing with him. And small church. So finally, the music director, he said, okay. So he goes to the pastor and said, hey, man, we got to do something about this guy. He's messing up everything. And a lot of the people are threatening to quit if he doesn't quit singing. So the pastor goes to him and said, hey, you know, we got some other things going on in church. Maybe you should lead the choir and do something else. And the guy said, why? Why should I lead the choir? He said, well, to be honest, there's five or six people have said that you can't sing. He said, that's no big deal. 50 have told me you can't preach. How about that? What do you do? Anyway, that's where it goes. We're going to finally get to Jacob when he meets Jesus in a wrestling match. We started there about, I don't know, 3 or 4 weeks ago. But there was too many things in between there that we couldn't just pass over. So we're going to cover 20 years today. So we'll pick back up where he's meeting Christ and wrestles with him next week. But here's a couple of things that we learned from the 20 years. Remember, he left because Esau's brother was going to kill him. And his mom said, you need to go back to where I'm from and find a wife over there. So he left. He met Christ at Bethel. God saw him. He saw God in a dream, and he told him. God promised him. He said, I'm going to do this. You're going to go over there, and I'm going to bring you back, and I'm going to take care of you. All right? So two things we learn from all these many events that take place in two or three chapters here. Number one, if God's plan for your life is not finished, it's your fault. It's nobody else's fault. It's not the devil's fault. It's not God's fault. And Jacob is proof of it. Jacob's, even his bad choices, it costs, though. But you cannot say, well, God's plan, and the only person you can blame is you. Nobody else does it. Because it's usually our foolish choices that thwarts God's plan. Now, his ultimate plan that he's going to get done, if he was going to use you in that plan to get it done, and you don't cooperate, he'll get it done. He just won't use you. But he has a plan for you. And if it gets messed up, you do it. Don't ever try to throw that off on somebody else. You and I do that. And that's exactly what we learned with Jacob. But even though all the horrible things that happened, God's ultimate promise that he said, I'm going to do this, Jacob. You know, whenever he and his mom had this scheme to steal the birthright, even though God had already told them all, he's going to get it. They said, well, we're going to help God out. God never turns to that kind of nonsense to get his plan done. He's not going to steal, and he's not going to cheat, he's not going to lie. And they said, oh, no, we got to help him out. So their choices cost all this headache that we're going to see in this 20-year period. And there's a lot of that nonsense goes on in our lives when we cause a lot of trouble because we don't trust God to do what he says he's going to do. If God promises something, it's going to come to pass. And that's what Jacob learns the hard way. He spends 20 years there with a lying, scheming uncle. That was his mom's brother. And that's, you know, the trickster meets the trickster. Y'all remember that song, What Goes Around Comes Around? The one I'm talking about, Waylon used to sing. I don't know if anybody else sang it or not. Just be careful, because things do circle. And because that's what we're looking at here today quickly. Jacob, remember he met God at Bethel and he had a dream, and now he's going on to where his mom is from and supposed to pick up a wife over there and marry those people, not these Hittites that were Esau and them were involved in. So he goes and he's there at the well in that area, and he sees two shepherds there. I can't put this, all the text up there. It's about three chapters, so I can't do all that. And he sees him and says, y'all ever heard of Laban? Oh, yeah, we know who that is. How's he doing? Oh, he's doing great. Matter of fact, his daughter will be here in just a few minutes to water his herds at the well. And we got to stay here and get the water up for him. He said, oh, you go ahead. I'll take care of it. So he gets them out of the way. And this is what happens, all right? This is the first thing we see. He leaves a mountaintop at Bethel, and he goes into the real world with his scheming Uncle Laban, who is just like him. Jacob learned some things about that in this process. And in verse 12, it says, chapter 29 of Genesis. And Jacob told Rachel that he was her father's brother and that he was Rebekah's son. And she ran and told her father. All right? We got some kin people here. Sure enough, they... That's what happens. He sees Rachel and immediately he wants to marry her. Now remember, he is penniless. He is a fugitive. He has nothing. In this conversation, he says, you know, hey, I want to marry Rachel. And because he does not have any money for the dowry, he says, I'll work for 7 years. And you want to do that for your spouse? Just to have her to be your spouse 7 years? He was pretty committed to the situation. So Laban says, okay, let's do that. That's exactly what he does. Turns out, Rachel was the youngest, and Leah was the oldest. And you have to understand this, or you don't understand the next part. In that culture then, and even now, the young ones never marry before the older ones. That is a shame on the whole family. You cannot do that. So when he starts tricking this situation, that's the reason behind it. Okay? But he says, and unfortunately, the Hebrew words describe these girls, and Leah evidently was less than fortunate looking. Okay? And now remember this. Even then, even the married night, when they come together as man and wife, she wears a veil. He's never seen below her eyes. Okay? That's just the way it goes. And he sees Rachel and wants to marry her. And the word they use for her is a little ewe. A little lamb. For Leah, it's a cow. Now, I don't know what that means other than... But it says... For Jacob, Rachel, he wanted to marry her. All right? That's just whatever reason you want to put there. And Jacob loved Rachel, and he said, I'll serve thee 7 years for Rachel by thy younger daughter. And Laban says, hey, how about that? We can do that. It is better that I give her to you than I give her to somebody else. Okay, come stay with me and work for me 7 years, and I'll give her to you. All right? So Jacob is committed. You know, unfortunately, in our day and time, people don't know what that means. They don't know what it means to commit their life to one another. They just don't. I mean, if that's you, I'm sorry. That's just the way it goes now. How can you find somebody now that's been married 40 years to the same person? You'd be hard-pressed to find it, provided they're more than 40 years old, right? Okay, well, that's a given. And Jacob served 7 years for Rachel, and they seemed to, but a few days, because he loved her so. All right? Now, here's where we get into it. He tricks her. He tricks Jacob because, oh no, she cannot marry before Leah does. So how in the world does he trick her, and he comes in there and he marries Leah and doesn't even know it's Leah? It's really not complicated. What I just told you, he never seen either one of them below their eye level. Here, for this part goes, all right? And what did they have for a whole week, sometimes 2 weeks before the marriage ends? They have a drunk party. Remember the chosen? What did they do? They served the best wine. They're the last thing. What do you do? Drink every day for a week. You think you're going? You think you're going to know who you're marrying? So it's really not far-fetched to understand how he could be so drunk and not be able to see her till the next morning. He realized, this is not Rachel. I used to wonder, how would that happen? It's really not complicated. That's exactly how it happened. So he tricked her, and then he finds out, what have you done? He said, well, I'll still give her Rachel 7 more years. So he commits to work for 14 years to a lying, scheming uncle. That's who it was. The trickster meets the trickster. What goes around comes around. Be careful. He's lied about the firstborn. Jacob did that, remember? He goes in there when his dad's better. He said, are you the firstborn? Oh, yeah, I'm the firstborn. Comes back around. That's what he did. What does Proverbs say? The way of the transgressor is hard. You better be careful. Oh, it comes back. It comes back. There's always consequences. He fulfilled the week of the marriage with Leah, and then he realizes, what in the world is going on? So he starts on 7 years now, more. Can you imagine what it would be like to be married to two sisters? At the same time. You know, they made a law against this in Deuteronomy where don't ever do that again. You know, this is before the law is actually given. And, you know, and you say, well, why would God do that? Why would God fool with you and me? He's working with the best he's got. That's why. That's all he had. So he's trying to do the best he can. Just because that went on doesn't mean he condones it or likes it. He changed some things, and he said, don't ever do that again. Aren't we glad? Hello? If you know some of your wife's sisters, you're probably glad you don't marry them alone, much less with the wife you have, right? Hello? Who in their right mind would want two wives at the same time? Come on. Who in their right mind woman would want two husbands at the same time? I mean, really, come on. Anyway. When you start a family by sin, there are going to be problems. These girls didn't get along. And God, it seems, neither one of them had any kids, and that was a big deal for them, you know. And so it appeared that Jacob was more favoring to Rachel because he loved her, and Leah was getting slighted, and neither one of them had any kids, so Leah started having kids, and Rachel couldn't have any kids, okay? And later on she did, had two kids, Joseph and Benjamin, who were the, kind of the elite tribes at the end. But, you know, that's what's going on. It was not good. And neither one of them, you know, they're always pawning against Jacob to try to win the favor. What is that? That is turmoil all the time. So be careful when you start your families. Don't start it the wrong way, because, you know, that's starting in a hole, right? You start in a hole just to get on level ground, you got to come up. You'd rather start on at least level ground, right? You ever started anything and you started in a hole? Boy, you don't want to do that. And that's exactly what happened here, all right? It's pretty obvious there was not a lot of spiritual stuff going on. And we see throughout these chapters, probably neither one, Leah nor Rachel, knew about Jacob's Bethel encounter with God. He tells them that at the last when he's telling them, hey, we got to get out of this situation with your daddy. And then it's when he's talking about God. And that's the first time you see him mention it. So, you know, maybe they didn't know. This point covers 14 years of his life there. He served 14 years. He has nothing. He's been working for, he has nothing of his own. He has two families. And he comes here because all I'm doing is making you money. Do you think Laban's going to be excited about that? But what does the scripture tell us? Laban's wealth has increased mightily while Jacob was there, because God was blessing Jacob, okay? And later on, you see that where Laban understood that. He said, oh, yeah, God's already told me I don't need to bother you. I don't need to mess with you because what you have done for me. So he didn't want to see him leave, but he said, oh, no, I need to go. And it came to pass when Rachel had borne Joseph that Jacob said to Laban, send me, this is the Joseph that turns out to be Joseph in the Pharaoh land, okay, in case you haven't followed that far. And he said to him, send me away that I may go back to my home place and to my country. God's already said, you're going there, I'm going to bring you back. And I'm going to bless you while you're gone. You see that? You understand? God said, I'm going to do this. When God makes us a promise, it's going to happen. When God promises us, if we trust in the blood of Jesus, when we die, there is a promise to be fulfilled. We will be with him in eternity. This validates that. You don't have to worry. Whatever God said is going to happen, it's going to happen. He told Jacob that, and he said, oh, yeah, it's going to happen. Give me my wives and my children for whom I've served thee, and let me go, for thou knowest my service within us. You know I made you a lot of money. I need to leave. Well, he ain't going to be for that, right? No, he's not. So he said, let me go. Now, whatever happens, he said, I can't let you go. You make me too much money. So here's what's going on. He comes to him and he says, they kind of make a deal. He covered his motive by saying, well, you know, what the Lord has done and the Lord has blessed me, and like he really cares. He's a pagan. Laban is a pagan, all right? Jacob doesn't seem like but he does know who God is. Laban does. So Laban says, well, just name your wages and I'll pay you. You just stay here. So what do you want? Jacob said, the last time I made a deal with you, it's cost me. I'm not about to enter in. I don't want you to give me anything. Do you know what kind of principle that is? Abram had it. Remember when he goes and retrieves Lot, his son-in-law, from the wicked kings around Sodom? And they tried to pay him. He said, I don't want any of your tainted money. I don't want the world to think you've made me what I am. The church can learn a whole lot from that one. We don't want the government doing anything for us. We don't want anybody thinking we are where we are because of what the government does. A lot of people buy into that nonsense. We've had some people try to sell us that before. No, we don't want anything to do with the government. We don't want getting any money from them. No. And that's exactly what he says. He says, no, I don't want anything from you. Here's what I want you to do. I'll stay here and work some more. All I want are the rejects. Rejects are this. If you had goats, they were usually solid colors in that, you know, they're black, they were brown or solid white. There were no speckled, there were no colored ones streaked out. He said, you give me the streaked ones. You give me the ones that are not solid color. That way you can always come and look at the flocks. And if any of them turn out to be in my flock that is not streaked, we'll consider that as stolen and we'll have to fix it. So he said this is a proven way for Laban to be able to sure Joseph didn't steal from him. This is Joseph's idea. And Laban said, man, I can't lose with that. But what does he do in the midst of all that? He starts and he's playing all these tricks. He takes from Laban, gives them to his son. He takes from Jacob, gives them to his son. And he's always trying to pull back. He doesn't give him any male goats to start with. All these things. And every time, God blesses Jacob anyway. And it gets to the point where he has so many animals. Because it says, you know, he went in there and he stripped the limbs off the tree and he put it in the water. And we clearly see later, God did it. He might have put it in the water, but that ain't what did it. Now, he was selective breeding, so his animals were stronger the way he was breeding them, but he didn't change the color. And we clearly see that, and Jacob understood that in the end of this thing. He says, God did this. Okay? But Jacob, what he says, he said, Laban, you changed my pay 10 times. That's how he did it. He would take from the animals and give them to his son. You go raise them. But what happened was, even when he was tricking Jacob, Jacob's flock was always stronger and better than his own sons. And so the sons started to get mad and said, this guy's getting filthy rich off of us, and he's taking everything that belongs to us. That's what was going on. That's what led to the next thing. So he says, okay, just give me the rejects. And that's exactly what he does. He gets the rejects, and, you know, Jacob's been doing this for 14 years, so he knows a little bit about these animals. So he does know how to get the strongest ones, and that's it. All Laban's turns out to be feeble things. All his are stronger. They're all streaked. And now he goes to work, and you say, well, wasn't he tricking them? I don't think you would say selective breeding is tricking. He just said, I can do this. He still only had, because how many times has Laban already tried to cut him out by pulling back on what he was supposed to do for him? And remember, God's the one's doing this, not Jacob. He learned a few things. Huh. All these special things that he was doing, later on, Jacob says, God did it. Because he said, God told him in a dream, okay, you need to leave. And he did mention the sheep and these things about those. He mentioned that in a dream. That's probably where he started from. God had told him in a dream. So he said, and we understand in chapter 31, Laban had always, just read it. It's a very interesting read. Go see how he would pull back and try to steal from Jacob and give back to his brother, his own sons, who were separate from Jacob's flock. And their flock group was not doing well, and Jacob's was thriving. He became so wealthy when he left, he even had camels. If you had a camel in that day and time, son, you were rich. So these guys were getting madder and madder and madder. And what are we going to do? This guy's stealing from us. So Jacob says, well, we got to get out of this place. So he has a plan to leave his uncle. And that's what happens. In verse 31, Jacob says this, and he heard the words of Laban's sons. We got to get rid of this Jacob. He's stealing from us. You know, that kind of attitude. Saying, Jacob have taken away all that was our father. It was not healthy. And he hears this and he says, time to go. No, it's time to go. That's what he says. And Jacob beheld the countenance, even Laban, who's now looking at him as, I know you made me a lot of money, but I don't like the way this is going. So he's afraid. And behold, it was not toward him as it was before. It was good to start with. He was making Laban a lot of money, but now he's making more than Laban's making. So what you going to do? We got to get rid of him. And Jehovah came to Jacob in a dream and said to Jacob, return to the land of thy fathers and thy kindred, and I'll be with you. I told you, Bethel, I was going to be with you. You're going over here. You're going to come back, and I'm going to bless you while you're gone. Promise. God said, I'm going to do it. When God tells you something, and I don't mean some crazy dream that you have out there that he's going to give you a pink Cadillac. I ain't talking about something like that. I'm talking about something that you can validate in God's word. What does the scripture say? He fulfills to you in a dream what the scripture says. You can probably bank on that one. Right? And this is what he said. I told you, Jacob. I've already told you. I'm going to go over there with you. I'm going to bring you back. It's time to go. God's saying it. He understands it. And then God says, hey, you need to do this. And Jacob sent and called Rachel and Leah to the field. He can't dare talk about around all the listening ears. So he takes his two wives, Laban's girls, and goes out in the field where nobody can hear him. Where are their microphones? Can you go anywhere now where, what was it in 84? What did we call the world in? Big Brother. Where Big Brother's not listening. You can't go anywhere now where somebody doesn't see it. I learned some things over the weekend. I had no idea what the government could do to us, even on a small scale, with pinging our automobiles. Hello. And all these flock cameras. Hello. That's an invasion of our privacy, to know who's in the car with you. If you're not stealing something, that's an invasion. I don't care where you stand on that. That's not right. So he has to go out in the field where nobody else can hear it. And he's got to talk with these two girls and say, we need to leave this place. And in that conversation, they say, well, Daddy don't care about us. He's been taking our dowry money and spending it on himself. So he don't really care anything about us, so we're ready to go. And he said, he told him, he said, you know, God has told me this. And they said, let's go. And that's how he starts. He goes and talks to them about it before he goes. He said, we got to get out of here. Here's several reasons why he does it, all right? Number one, the attitude that Laban and his sons toward him has definitely changed, all right? It is not the same. He needs to have his own money for his own family. He don't need to just make money for Laban anymore. And the main thing is God said, get out of here. When God tells you something and you're clear it's in the scripture, that's what you need to do. You don't need to go ask somebody on social media, what should I do? You don't need to go ask some of your crazy lost friends either. Some of you get all your counsel from people who don't even know their own name most of the day, right? Isn't that horrible? How many times during the day we had to deal with people, I wonder if they know their name, because they sure don't know what they're doing. You know what I mean? They're waiting on you, and you look around and you say, what? You know where we are? You know what's going on here? And you want to say, do you know what your name is today? Are you on drugs or something? You know? I mean, unfortunately, that's the way it goes. God told him, let's go. So he says, that's what, and the girl said, okay, let's do it. He reminded him, remember that vow you and I made about one another back at Bethel? Let's do that. Let's get with that. Now he has to go back, and now he's got to face nation. Yeah, but God said, let's do it, all right? So they said, okay, Dad don't care anything about us. And so they leave in the middle of the night. Why would you tell Laban? I wouldn't tell him, would you? He's already scheming, lying, and doing everything else, and that's exactly what happened. So they sneak off in the night, and when Laban, you know, Jacob says, you know, Laban's over yonder, or a long way from us. He's in the middle of shearing the sheep, so he's taking care of that. Let's go. So when he gets back close by and understands that they're gone, he takes out after them. It says 7 days, he finds them over around Gilead. And he chases them down, and it's pretty hard on him. He receives the word, and he goes, he says, why would you steal away my children like they were being abducted or something? He don't care about them so far. Even they said, he don't care about us. He took our dowry that we... Wow. And he fusses at Jacob because he said, you know, you deprived me for having a big party. You're not going to spend any money on a party. We know that, right? You tightwad. You ain't about to spend any money. So why? Well, why? He's lying, trying to make it sound good. Well, you're depriving me of all that. No, he's not going to do it. Why should I be robbed of saying goodbye to my children? Because you don't care about them. Sometimes that's the best thing you do, is get away from the nuts. We all have some of them in our families, don't we? The best thing you do is stay away from them. You don't have to hate them. You don't have to hurt them. Just don't have anything to do with them. God says that. Keep your distance. I won't go into detail on how that works. But the Bible says something about it. Jacob was perfectly candid. He said, the reason I'm running, I'm afraid of you and your boys and what you would do to try to keep your own children, grandchildren, and wives away from me. That's why. He said, I'm honest. That's what it is. Well, I don't have any reason to trust you. In this context, he said, you've already changed my wages 10 times. Would you trust somebody who promise you to do this, and 10 times in just a few years they change your wages. He said, I don't trust you. I wouldn't put anything past you. That's why he's leaving. That's the main reason. And God told him to do it. And in this, it tells us that God, and some people say that Laban was into divination, but somehow God got word to him, you need to leave him alone. Did you know that? He tells Laban, I don't care what you do, but you better not mess with Jacob. And he understood that enough. So he said, okay. You know, there's been some times in history you can look back where if it hadn't been God directly intervening in a miraculous way, the church wouldn't have made it. You know that? Go read about the Waldensians. Read about some of those people who almost were totally extinct because they were doing the right thing, and God has to preserve them right at the last minute. He said, wait a minute. Jacob is going to live, and Joseph is going to live because Jesus is coming from Joseph. You understand that? He says, nobody's going to mess this up. So Laban, you better watch what you're doing, buddy. Because, and he learned right then, Laban learned right quick, God was the intimidator here. He said, you need to back off. So all he could do was say something. He couldn't do anything. He had the power. But God said, no, no. So he puts up this front and he said, oh, no, no, we're not doing any of that. No, we're going to leave. 30-some had stolen his idols. He says, well, why did you steal my idol when you left? He said, we didn't steal your little idol. And Jacob, and it's pretty clear, Jacob didn't know that his wife Rachel had stolen the little idols. And it was small enough you could sit on it, okay? Can you imagine worshiping something you could sit on? I think it's a pun in there that God says, hey, listen, be careful there, what you're trying. He says, if you find that in our camp, we'll kill the person who took it. He didn't know his wife Rachel had taken it. That's a whole nother deal. Why would she take it? You can speculate on it. Probably because she knew her dad loved it and she would just make him mad as fire for taking it. Because there's nothing in her that proves that she was worshiping the thing. But I think she's just trying to make him mad because she didn't like him. So if you find it, well, guess what happened? He went through every bag and you know, using some feminine situation, she said, Dad, I can't get up. And she was sitting on it. So he never found out. How about that? So they both said, hey, neither one of us trusts each other. Why don't we set up a covenant here? They took some rocks. You know, and the words actually shows clearly Laban was a pagan. And the word that Jacob used shows that he didn't know who God was. And they made a covenant that they would leave each other alone and be dumb to one another. And that's how they ended it. And so Laban leaves, and they're leaving, and they're going to go on their trek on back home. And we'll pick that up next week. What does it tell us? God's going to get done what he said he's going to get done. And God does have a plan for our life. And you are the only one who can mess it up. You can't blame that on anybody. There are all kind of people that can be influencers, but in the bottom line is this. God has a plan, and when you choose to be disobedient, you mess it up. God doesn't mess it up. So be careful when you're trying to blame somebody else. You look at your choices you make and say, whoa, wait a minute. If I hadn't made this choice, then this wouldn't have gone this way. Right. And how is it that we get 40 years old and still making horrible choices? You don't learn anything? 40 years? Hello? How long do you have to be? I know 40-year-olds are stupid. They ain't learned a thing. Some of my own family. I'm thinking, you're 45. How in the world didn't you learn anything through this? You know part of the reason? His mom and dad didn't let him learn. His mom and dad always bailed him out. So he didn't feel the consequences that Jacob's been feeling with Uncle Laban. So he had to learn some hard lessons here because of him and his mama's manipulation to control the thing. God said, oh no, I'm going to use you, Jacob. It's going to cost you, and it's going to cost your family, but I'm still going to use you. And he had just enough trust in God that God could still work with him. Sometimes people get to the point where they just throw God aside, and God says, I'm done. You know, I've been studying some in Jeremiah and some of the devotion. A couple of you get it. I don't know if you've been paying attention, but Jeremiah had a hard road as a prophet because he was preaching to a bunch of God's chosen people who were pagans. And you know what God told him? Don't even pray for them anymore. They're not going to change. I'm done with them. There's nothing you can do to keep them out of slavery. I'm about to take care of this thing. And that's exactly what happened. Did you know there's a point in your life where God will say, I'm done with you, Terry. You need to be careful. Because you're the one that can mess that up. You know, Isaiah says it's what? It says the Spirit of God will not always deal with us. You can put it off and put it off and put it off when you know something should be done because God's been dealing with you and been showing you, and you just keep on, and you can wake up the next day and then it's too late. You don't need to go there. I'm telling you. You can get past the point where God will receive it. He says that. Especially when you know, I shouldn't be doing this. I shouldn't be in here. I shouldn't be doing this. And you keep flirting around with it, and one day you might wake up and God doesn't bother you anymore, so you're done. You're done then. There's no chance. Don't get there. You know, at this point in time, Jacob was still paying enough attention that God said, okay, you're a hard one, boy, but you're going to learn. And he's learned a lot through Uncle Laban, hadn't he? Wow, you reckon that stuck with him? Oh, yeah. He learned a few things. And you see it later on in Jacob's life. Here's what we remember. God has a plan for every one of us individually. He has a plan for the church. We're the only one who can mess that up. God makes us a promise. It's going to come to pass. Nobody can mess that up. Nobody. The promises he makes to us in Scripture, you can count on them. They will happen. And that's glorious because if it wasn't for that, where would we be? We'd have nothing. The government sure can't fix this mess we're in. I don't care who the president is or who the governor is. And boy, we've had some sports, haven't we? And we'll continue to have some. Anyway, God loves us. He shows us that clearly. He's doing all he can with the best he's got. Us. Which is probably doesn't rank real high some days, does it? Hello? What did Paul say? On our best day, we're like, what kind of rags? Filthy rags. And God says, okay, you all I got right now. I'm going to keep working with you as long as you stay on the track. And Jacob was on the track. Boy, he got off close sometimes, didn't he? Anyway, you trust God and things are going to make it. Doesn't mean it's easy, though. All right? Let's pray. Lord, thank you. Thank you that we can count on your word. Thank you that we count on your promise. Thank you that you have a plan for each one of us. Lord, help us just to seek it by reading your word, by studying it, to talking with people who are a lot wiser than us, who have good godly counsel that can help us. Father, help us seek them out and use them in our lives to help us make good choices where people can be blessed from them and not hurt from them. Thank you for your mercy. In Jesus' name, amen.